school before I ever went into service. I have had a fascination with things that involve the creation. And first time I ever asked my grandfather about those creatures that came out of the bottomless pit and things like that, he said they were made of the devil. And back then they had a lot of, but they were landmarkers. But back then, quite frankly, back in the woods, you just had to do the best you could because we didn't have a seminary, and a lot of the preachers didn't know what those words meant. But here I am; they didn't misteach me, and I understand why they taught that and what they meant. I've been very curious to know, and this is a personal thing, but I'll share it with you. Ever since I came back out of the military, God had called me to preach. All those things that I was taught as a boy, as I listened to what was being taught then, I said, well, that's not what I was taught. And I went to a lot of Missionary Baptist churches. My membership was down at Antioch. I was ordained at Antioch Missionary Baptist Church. And this is a personal thing, but my life was a struggle because I knew the first the weak position was wrong. And I knew that there were different raptures in there. And I knew that good old Chastain, Hoyt Chastain, he finally came up with this idea of three raptures. One at the first, one in the middle, and one at the end. So when I came down the next time to preach a series of meetings down there, and I preached a lot for him, he immediately tried to sell me this thing about three different raptures. And normally, when somebody presents something like that to me, I just sit down and talk to them and show them why I think it's wrong. But that old man, I love that old man, and he said, what do you think of this? And if it had been some seminary student, I'd say, well, it's wrong. But with him, I said, well, Hoyt, I said, you've studied this a long time. So I said, I don't quite agree with that, but I said, there's all sorts of possibilities. Well, lo and behold, about 2 years later, he shows up down where John Owen is pastor, and Emmanuel down in Hot Springs. And he went up to John when he first went in. He was visiting, Hoyt was, with his wife. And he said, John, I'd like to preach tonight if you'd let me. And John said, well, okay. So he got up there and he said, I want to teach you something tonight that you're going to really enjoy. And he taught there was a rapture the first week, the middle of the week, and last week. So next time I saw him, he said, I didn't like that. I said, well, Hoyt, I told you that it wasn't right, but, you know, we've been doing this for a long time. And so this has been a struggle with me from the very beginning. You can't get inside me and see the real me, and part of me, I just assume you didn't. But this is something that's been my life. And at the same time it's been my life for many years, I realize that although I'm certain of what I'm presenting, I could be wrong. So I have tried to be honest, and I began to present this after I came up here. What I have believed, it was that in Daniel's 70th week, that there was room for a split rapture in there. I wasn't sure exactly when it was going to occur, but I knew the first sequence of it by putting all the scriptures together in the Old Testament and all of them in the New Testament. And pretty soon I came up with something that I was certain would be correct until the last days. Well, last January, I sat down and I looked at all that. And I said, I believe what I'm teaching is right, but I want to be sure. And so I said, well, I'm certain of it up to now. It had followed the pattern perfectly. So I put out this advisory, you all read it, where I said that I was just going to take a year off from writing anything about when this was going to happen and the time schedule and everything. And I said, I'm going to wait a year, and then I'll put out one that will explain completely what I believe. I had several reasons for doing this. I was uneasy about it for some reason, and yet I didn't see any reason to change it. And so I just sat there and waited. All of a sudden, this war over in the Middle East intensified in Syria and in Lebanon and in with Hezbollah and with Hamas and with all over the Middle East. And I realized, okay, you're just fine, because right up until that time, I told them that was going to happen. And all of a sudden, things began to change. And I began to understand some things a lot better than I had before. If you go back and read all my updates, you'll discover an uncertainty in what I was presenting at the very end. There was just something about it that I vacillated back and forth on. And it was in the last part of Daniel. So I thought, well, I got time. All of a sudden, during the last year, a lot of things have happened. The whole complexity over there of the situation has changed. It looks like there's going to be some kind of an arrangement worked out between the Russians and the United States. There's mass confusion in this country like I've never seen it before. Well, another reason I waited, and waited a year before, because I wasn't that certain of how this was going to come to pass. Oh, I had diagrams and charts. This was one of them. I believed that Israel was going to attack Lebanon, Syria, Hezbollah. I believe Israel was going to attack them, and then they would counterattack. And I taught you why. I showed you where they were rebuilding everything on the other side. And then I taught you that Israel was going to attack the Antichrist. And I looked at that, and that's why, one another reason I waited. Because the situation did not seem favorable at that time when I got up to it, and I said, well, I know this. I know Daniel's prophecy is correct, but there's something in here that isn't matching what I'm thinking for the rest of the tribulation period. So then I began to study it. And finally, I came to the conclusion of just waiting a year. I didn't tell you all that I just got through telling you. So I've waited a year, and I'm glad I did, because Chuck asked me a question about what's going to happen with all that stuff up north. Well, I passed this one out, and I've got a little black circle up there, right up at the very top with a one down to the southeast of it. You'll notice that's up in southern Beirut. The one is over in Syria. Then you go on down to where, good grief. Those pesky fellows down in Lebanon. There's another group down in there. I had told you and shown you how that had been changed militarily and how they had built a trap down there for Israel. And Israel is tired of this. So I began to watch, and I said, okay, now I understand it. Why did I tell you all that? Was it because I was afraid I was going to be wrong and it was going to be embarrassing? Yeah, that's part of it. But I realized I was going to stand before God, and this thing, I was uneasy with it. And no matter how much I tried to during the year to write about it, I just couldn't. So all of a sudden, some things suddenly began to happen up there. Election matters here in the United States. More earthquakes. Do you remember when I told you about that little volcano that I showed you when we flew over in Italy? It was just an impression down there. It was so old they didn't even know how old it was. All of a sudden, they've been having tremendous earthquakes all up and down that valley. And it explains a lot of scriptures in Revelation. I went over them before and told you that I figured the last great earthquake would start up there in that valley and would go all the way down through the Jordan River Valley because they are all connected. And it became apparent that that's what's going to happen. So I suddenly was honest with it. And I think a lot of the prophecies are about to be fulfilled up in the north. You can't ever have peace that lasts between any of those Arab nations and Israel. The Bible just doesn't indicate that a lasting peace is possible with them. God's going to have to bring the priests. He'll direct it. He'll see that the right ones are set in the right place. And that's what I've learned in the last year. Now, if you look at this diagram and see where Jerusalem is, way down here on about number 2. They're going to attack way up here at Lebanon in Syria. Probably in the next several months. And what will trigger the attack will be Israel will say, we're not going to let this happen. And they will first attack them, and then they will spread south. They'll chase Israel into the Negev wilderness, which is down there where number 3 and number 7 are. They'll surround them, and they will keep them confined in that area for about 1,260 days, maybe 1,290 days, but I think 1,260 days. Then I think that God will intervene and they will break out. They will head north, led not by the cloud itself, but by light, God himself. And they will be led by this, and they will go up and reclaim the Abrahamic land grant, which we've looked at many times before. Okay, where does that leave us, and where does that leave me? Well, I just told you it's going to happen. You say, are you that sure? Yes. You say, well, what if it doesn't happen? I'll look like a fool. And I suppose a lot of people will say, we don't have any confidence in you anymore. I reached that stage a long time ago, folks. I stopped having confidence in myself, and I started having confidence in what God said. I figured if all power was given him in heaven and in earth, that for me to pre-presume that I could understand everything that was going to happen, just exactly what was going to happen, gave me a kind of a big head. And suddenly I realized the only reason you love God is because he first loved you. You've heard me use that many times. Well, we're here. I said all that to tell you this. We have reached the point in time where I still cannot tell you the exact day, month, or year, because it's just not possible with the information I have. But if the information I have was given to me by the Lord, and I believe it was, I believe I can make a flat statement and tell you and not fear judgment at his judgment seat for telling you. I think God meant for his children to have a general idea of when the Lord was coming. Couldn't tell the day, the week, the month, or the year. But is there another reason I believe this? I've never been so excited in my life. You say, well, aren't you afraid of being wrong? Could care less. Because what I'm going to show you is based on what Daniel and the prophets said. And I want to tell you that for the first time in my life, I can honestly say everybody is in the right place. Every event is occurring like it should. And you don't have long to wait. You say, well, that ain't much help. Well, then why am I so excited? It's a lot of help. Because I know that a lot of people would like for the tribulation period to last longer, and they'd have more time to raise their children. They wouldn't have to worry about the tribulation period, because it is going to occur on the seventh trumpet. And it would be something that could placate you. But I'm not going to placate you. I'm going to tell you. We are headed for the end of Daniel's 70th week. And we're going to go through it up until the seventh trump. I do not expect us to have the horror that they're going to see over there in the Middle East. But I would expect us to have some trouble. When I say us, I'm referring to those sitting right here. And to those people who have a deep-seated transplanting of God within them that they did not deserve, nor do not deserve, but by grace through faith, God gave it to them. We are special to God. And we don't deserve it. And we know it. So here we are. Well, I said all that to say this. I have always believed where the scripture indicated that God didn't just throw his seed out there and expect no return. And I think we're waiting for some things to happen, and this thing's going to creep up on us. I believe that the processes are already setting up in our relationship with Israel and with our relationship with our so-called friends to the north in the Middle East. So I'm going to be praying that I won't mislead people, but that I will, if God desires it, try to warn people as much as I can. And I believe a lot of people will come back to church when they see this happening. I really do. Because they've either heard it and didn't believe it, or they've heard it, believed it for a while, and left. And I've sat here and watched all this, and I've formed some opinions that they'll all return, or many will return, and we'll have a church full of people. You say, well, does that please you? No. That's just part of it. Well, what pleases you? That I'm sitting here right now. And I know that we don't have long to wait. I know it. But I've never been able to tell the exact day, week, month, or year. I don't think I ever will be. But when these things start taking place in Israel, you have every reason to rejoice. Now, when I was young, I wouldn't have rejoiced. I'd have been scared to death. And when the preacher would say to me, Tom Mack, won't it be wonderful when Jesus comes? I'd say, oh, yeah, preacher. But no, I wouldn't have. I didn't want him to come. There were lots of other things that were more important to me in life. Nothing is more important to me than seeing him face to face. I don't want to see Imogene first. I want to see him. And I want, if hugging is allowed in heaven, I want to hug him. Because I was saved by unmerited favor. I was taught by unmerited favor. And I sit here telling you what I know, because I think God meant for his people to have a good general idea of when this is going to occur. So what happened on this thing was, we got over here on page 3, and we got down to the very bottom paragraph where it says, once Daniel's clock began to tick, it will be as if it never stopped. When did Daniel's clock stop ticking? It stopped ticking when Christ was crucified, buried, and resurrected from the dead. And it has never stopped, it has never picked up ticking again for Israel, and will not until Israel repents. So Israel is going through a very difficult part of the tribulation period. Many are going to die. I used to be a bleeding heart when I was younger. And I would think, boy, you know, how can God do that? And this was when I was a kid. And I didn't know him that well. I was saved. I was just as saved as I am now. But I had so many other interests in my life that I just concentrated on those things, and I wanted God to give me those things. And I had a preset idea about what I was supposed to do. Well, when God called me into the ministry, God called me in here to teach me. And he began to teach me, and he had already taught me when I was young. I guess he prepared me, because if he had just started trying to teach me this, oh, he could have done anything. It would have been awful hard for me to accept or obtain. But I knew when he called me, and I knew when I came up here what I was supposed to do. And so I waited until the situation in the church was such that I could do it without being run off. That's pretty blunt and plain. But I prayed a lot about it to the Lord, because I fear the Lord. I revere the Lord. I respect the Lord. And he taught me about himself. And man, you talk about somebody growing to appreciate God. I understand what he meant when he said, except you become as little children, you shall no wise enter into the kingdom of God. My attitude was completely wrong. And yet God called me. And yet God taught me. And when he finished his teaching, he taught me, do you see how little you know? Do you see what I'm like now? Do you understand me any better? He didn't say that audibly, but he said it in here. And I began to understand some things I could never understand unless God showed me. I hope they all get back in church. I hope when they see these things begin to happen, they have, God gives them enough memory, but that's up to God. God gives them enough memory. Like the man that had forgotten, he was once purged from his old sins, Lethe Lombano. And they come back into church. He kept holding out his hand to the Israelites. I think he's still holding out his hand to church members that have been saved, that the Father led to the Son, and the Son was resurrected from the dead and led them to him. It's an amazing thing about God. And there's lots of things that if God reads your heart, and he does, and he detects you really want to please him and you really want to know him, and you're not like Simon the sorcerer. You don't want to be able to understand what he's saying so you can be a big man, so you can be chief among the apostles, so you can be noticed. That's not what God wants. God just wants you to wake up and realize you're only going to heaven because of him. You've only been saved because of his grace. And he only keeps you because of his great love for you. Well, I learned that. You say, how long do you think that's going to last? Oh, I hope it lasts until he comes, or until I go to be with him. Now, Daniel's clock began to tick as if it had never stopped. When did Daniel's clock stop ticking? Look up back at Daniel 9:27. These are the three he's. God became the God-man, the seed. And in that seed dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus fulfilled the promises to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and David. And he talks about it in Daniel's 70th week. But he was cut off. He was crucified. We know for a fact that he finished three Passovers during his earthly ministry. When he started his ministry, he fulfilled three he had three times that he visited the Passover. He finished more than three Passovers, 1,185 days, as close as I can compute. I do what all of them did, just about all of them, before 1730. They figured he finished three Passovers, and they figured he finished about 1,185 days. He finished 1,185 of the final 2,520 prophetic days. He made the days, what the Hebrews understood, to be 360. That makes you have to go back and compute and do a lot of figuring before you can come up with this. Thank God they did before 1730 or 1740. At this point, the clock stopped, and he made the temple spiritually desolate, thereby causing the acceptance of the sacrifice and the oblation, the pouring out of the cereal, to cease being acceptable to God. This is what I'm telling you now. And it will continue to be so until the consummation of this age. When at that time, the spiritually desolate will have his wrath poured upon them. Those that are spiritually desolate are finished. Now, how's God going to do all this? Could God have done it another way? I just know the way he did it. You say, well, do you think that's the best way? Yes. You say, would you give me a scientific reason for believing that? No. Because I have been taught by God that he knows exactly what he's doing, and I can have full and complete confidence in him because he has all power in heaven and in earth. I'm not worried about my reputation anymore. Because I know the only reason I'm going to heaven is because of the grace of God in Jesus Christ. And I know that I only love him because he first loved me. Once Daniel's clock begins to tick again, it will be as if it never stopped. It will start to tick when the Israelis believe they have peace and safety. There is going to be a kind of an agreement. Call it what you want. You can call it a hudna. Lots of different names for it. But it's when an agreement is made between those who have the same blood that flowed through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and also through those that came out of it that are corrupt. From the time it began to tick until it closes, Daniel's 70th week, with its final tick at the Battle of Armageddon, will be 1,335 prophetic days. It will be 1,290 days after it starts to tick that the abomination of desolation appears on the Temple Mount. It will be about 75 days before it begins to tick that Israel will be attacked by a confederation of Islamic nations that were once a part of the old Roman Empire. I believe the seven vials of God's wrath will be poured out on the earth during the 45-day period that occurs between the 1,290th day, when the abomination of desolation is set up, and the coming of Christ with the saints on the 1,335th day. It's the only way I've ever been able to get those to match up. I think God taught me that. You say, well, what are you going to do if he didn't? I'm going to be embarrassed. You say, well, why don't you just stop it and maybe it'll be okay. No, this is what I've got to do. This initial attack of the Antichrist, 75 days after peace comes, will drive Israel into the Negev for the remaining 1,260 days left in the 1,335th day. So you can tell all that on here. But I wanted to be sure about this hudna that was coming. And God just wouldn't let me write anymore. I was anxious to do it. I love prophecy. I'd just rather preach. I'd rather do like Chuck does and learned something myself while I was going along and then pass it on to you. But I love to hear Chuck preach. I always learn something. And I'm going to try and split the preaching between us, if that's all right with Chuck. All right, you all, just, I'm going to let him preach one Sunday and I'll preach the next Sunday. And we'll do it that way because so far, page 3. What time you go? Well, it's time to quit, isn't it? Yes, it is. Continue this. An unction is not like some miraculous thing that makes you Mr. Wonderful. I think God chose me to teach this. I do think, don't know, that a lot of people that left this church will come back. You say, will you feel justified then? I feel justified right now. And I think that causes most of the trouble in a church. Self-justification. Why do you think it says Jesus did what he did? That he might be just and the justifier of them which believe in Jesus. He's both just and the justifier. You know who that is? It must be God. And that's what he is. Now this tour that I've had here, since I'm a military man, I use that a lot. This tour that I've had here was for you. But I think it was more for me than anybody else. Because God's taught me a lot. I didn't have any humility when I came here. I thought it was some kind of Chinese soup. But the truth of the matter is, I do now. I have to have it. Because I can only love him because he first loved me. You say, why does the Lord tell you to humble yourself? Because he has to do it. Where do I come in? I have to let him. I can put up an awful struggle and have. But you have to let him. I've known a lot of preachers, loved and respected a lot of them. And I've seen God humble them. And all the time it was me that needed to see that and say, what about you? Lord, I hope that I can finish the rest of this tour down here with a feeling I have in my heart about you. I thank you for what you've taught me. I thank you for what you've taught this church. Lord, help us to look forward to your coming, not to be discouraged, but to cast all of our care upon you, knowing that you alone can carry it. These things I ask in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen. Oh.